Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Build it and they will come. That was the mantra of the 1989 movie Field of Dreams, which was based on the novel Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella. If you read the book or saw the movie, you know that it's about the courage to dream. It's also about reconciliation between father and son. That theme was caught poignantly at the very end of the movie when a dead former baseball player returns to a cornfield in Iowa to reconnect with his son, the protagonist, played by Kevin Costner.
Hey, Dad? You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
That final scene of a father and son playing catch tugged at the heartstrings of millions of viewers, and it provided a kind of minor but lasting fame for actor Dwyer Brown, who portrayed the late baseball player father of Kevin Costner's character. Among other things, it inspired Brown to write a book, which has just been published, called If You Build It, a book about fathers, fate, and field of dreams. Dwyer Brown was at Fenway Park last night to throw out the first pitch, and he'll be at Fenway on Sunday for a showing of the movie Field of Dreams. And Dwyer Brown, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. Great to be here.
And thank you for this book. So tell us, let's start off this way. Tell us how that brief 5 minutes in Field of Dreams really changed things for you, because I understand that after that, people often recognize you, came up to you. What did they talk to you about?
People would come up and, you know, just randomly, I'll be in a tire store, or I'll be camping with a, you know, 3-day beard growth. I can't imagine how people recognize me. I don't think my mother would recognize me. They would get very serious. And sometimes, you know, they would say, well, you know, I hadn't spoken to my dad in 15 years. And when I saw that movie, I went and grabbed him and we watched the movie together. And we were just able to let go of this longstanding animosity we'd had towards each other, realized how stupid it was. And I've got a relationship with my dad, thanks to you. You know, I mean, they, of course, attribute it to me, but...
So you became almost like a confessor, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, it was so funny. I felt like a priest hearing this, because I rarely could interject anything that was, you know, I mean, I would just nod my head and show that I was listening to them. And they would, you know, sometimes get very emotional, and I'd end up hugging them. I mean, I didn't have them do Hail Marys or, you know, any penance, but these people for whom that movie struck such a deep chord, they have, you know, indelibly placed my face in their gray matter and want to tell me their stories.
Why did that movie, and specifically that scene, which was very poignant, resonate with so many people so powerfully?
Well, to me, it has a lot to do with that father-son relationship, which I think for a lot of us, even those of us who had a good relationship with our fathers, much of that relationship was unspoken, or the context in which you could talk to your father was sports or baseball. And those softer feelings of love and affection and pride and gratitude frequently go unexpressed. And so I think that movie hit that chord so resonantly. Whether you had a good relationship with your father or not, I think all of us would take one more chance to play catch or say thank you or give a hug.
So tell me a little bit about your own father and what inspired you to write this, because one of the things that I took away was it seems like you didn't have problems with him, but he was a stoic guy, not naturally given to expressing emotions, right?
Yeah. My dad was a great dad, but there was always something about him being in Boy Scouts with us or Indian guides or taking us camping, that it sort of felt like he wasn't present, that he was doing it for another reason. And, I'm just a 5 or 6 year old kid and I'm picking up on that. And I never understood why. My dad didn't talk about his father. He didn't talk much about his family. There was all these kind of secrets. He was always telling me, you know, don't tell anybody how much money I make. I mean, he didn't make any money. I didn't know how much money he made. But I think because of that, I sort of became an actor, because I wanted to learn how to express myself. You know, I'm in this family, and I kept wanting more from acting. I wanted to know how to express emotion. I wanted to know how to do it each time, and I wanted it to be real each time. And what I realized later, I mean, I took an opportunity to take a road trip with my father, you know, which was awkward, because here's a man I'd lived with for 20 years but never really had any in-depth conversation, and I'm going to lock myself in a car with him for 2 hours. So
now, when was this? How late in his life? Because I wanted to ask you about this road trip, because this is when you were sort of finally able to break through that shell with him.
Right. This was in 1986, maybe 2 years before I got in Field of Dreams. You know, I'm stuck in a car with him, so I just started asking him about stories maybe I'd heard before about his first jobs. And anyway, it came out that his father had sort of had an affair and abandoned the family. And my grandmother was sort of rejected and left alone without money. And anyway.
Wow, so a big sort of family trauma that was kept from you for a big chunk of your life.
Right. I think that generation felt like if they didn't tell you things, then you wouldn't have to worry about them, or you didn't need to know that. And I think that was the, you know, conventional wisdom at the time. But it, for me, it suddenly, the heavens opened. This part of my father that he had kept from me, I resented that. But when I knew why he did it, it made me just love him all the more, that he didn't want me to know anything about the deprivation that he had to suffer, you know, emotionally from his dad, and wanted to wipe that slate clean and start me fresh. And fortunately, you know, I had that experience before he died. I mean, he ended up dying 30 days before I went to shoot the movie in Iowa.
How did that affect how you thought about the role you were playing as the father who comes back essentially from the dead out of the cornfield to play catch with Ray Kinsella?
I thought that, you know, my father dying unexpectedly the way he did, it would be difficult to get through the scene without breaking down. But what was so funny about it was it sort of had the opposite effect. I felt kind of blocked emotionally, I think because it had been so fresh. And it does seem strange to me that so many things that in my own personal life get mirrored in the movie, and maybe it added something to it. I'm not sure.
Sure, really interesting. Well, you're the father of two kids, a girl and a boy. What do you hope that fathers and sons learn from your book about being a parent and connecting with their children?
I think you can heal those relationships. You can make your peace, even if your dad's not around anymore, even if you're not speaking to him or all those things. I think so much of the relationship we carry around in our brains and in our hearts is a product of decisions we've made. And I think you can change your mind about those decisions. Whether or not you ever really get the facts of why your dad maybe was the way he was, I think everybody's really trying to do the best they can.
I heard some wisdom from a friend not long ago who said a lot of parents could be better parents, but it's important to remember that they're probably being the best parents that they know how to be.
Right. And I think part of the reason that movie is so resonant is kids, we have that, we wish we hadn't been hard on our fathers at that age, the way my 15-year-old son is kind of a little rough on me. He's trying to establish who he is as a man, and I'm the closest man around, so I get a few elbows on the way. And I think as parents, we realize, gosh, I wish I hadn't have been so hard on him. I wish I hadn't always been worried that, you know, that he's never going to be able to make a living, so I kept pushing him to the way that, you know, I think he needs to be.
Right.
And so we have regrets on both sides of that relationship, as sons towards our father, as fathers towards our sons, and daughters. And it's a shame when you carry around that animosity that my father didn't love me, or I never got his attention, or whatever that is, he abandoned me, and you don't give yourself the opportunity to let that go and live your life fully.
Dwyer Brown was an actor in the 1989 movie Field of Dreams. His new memoir is If You Build It, a book about father's fate and Field of Dreams. He'll be at Fenway Park again on Sunday for a special screening of Field of Dreams after a minor league game between the Lowell Spinners and the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. Dwyer Brown, thanks so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Oh, Anthony, it was great. We got all deep in here, didn't we?
A little bit. And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.